Hello and welcome to Talking Europe. The impending return of Donald Trump to the US presidency and a more assertive global China raise huge questions for the future direction of the European Union. And one of those questions is how the EU should manage its international partnerships. Those partnerships include the 300 billion euro Global Gateway Initiative, which is not just an investment program, but a key instrument of what the EU sees as its soft power and influence in the world. My guest has been at the forefront of this global effort over the past 5 years. Jutta Urpilainen is the outgoing commissioner in charge of international partnerships. She's a Finnish politician who's very much rooted in the social democratic tradition of her home country. Commissioner, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What do you think America First is going to mean for the EU in terms of these international partnerships in Africa and elsewhere?
I think it's very hard to predict and very hard to say. But of course, I hope that the United States of America is still committed to the multilateralism and to a rule-based international order. And when it comes to official development assistance, so-called ODA, if we look at the statistics, the European Union and the US, we provide around 70-80% of the global ODA. So from that perspective, I of course also hope that the US is committed to provide ODA funding also in the future.
Of course, Trump in his first presidency did propose cuts in development aid. If you were to follow through on that, would that actually be an opportunity for the EU's influence?
Well, I think in any case, it is needed to be able to mobilize more resources to the so-called Global South, to our partner countries in the Global South. Because if we really want to achieve sustainable development goals, which we do, much more resources are needed. And this is the reason why the European Union also adopted this new Global Gateway Investment Strategy.
Let's talk about the Global Gateway from the point of view of competition with China. There was a European Commission document which suggested that the initiatives are spread too thinly and that the EU as a whole needs to get serious about its competition with China. Why do you think China appears to be a more attractive offer to some partners, particularly in Africa, compared to the EU?
Well, I don't agree that China is a more attractive. If I look at many African countries at the moment, their debt levels are very, very high. And a big portion of their revenues actually goes to debt servicing. And that's why many of our partners, especially in Africa, have also realized that China's offer, Belt and Road Initiative, has actually caused this kind of huge debt dependency on China. And why we wanted to create the Global Gateway Investment Strategy is that we wanted to have our own positive offer. We wanted to support our partners in the Global South to achieve sustainable development goals. And that's why we want to boost investments in energy sector, in transport, in digital, but also human development, like education and health. And so far, since 2021, we have already mobilized up to 179 billion euro worth of investments. So we have 225 Global Gateway flagships across the world. Is it too many? For me, not really, because I think all those projects are very much needed. And that's why I think it is important to have this broad scope in the Global Gateway. So it's not only about hard infrastructure, but it's also very much about soft connectivity.
You mentioned the debt issue in relation to China. There was a civil society white paper which suggested that the EU is also relying on this mix of private and public sector financing, which inadvertently makes the debt problem bigger in some of the African problems. So it's not as if the EU doesn't have its own strings attached when it comes to aid, I suppose.
Well, I don't agree on that, because if I look at, for instance, Kenya, where the debt level is very, very high, or if I look at, for instance, Zambia, I think what these both countries need very much is actually investments. So through these investments, we are able to boost their economic growth, but also create more jobs. And through those jobs, they are getting more revenues. So that's why I think it's very much needed to get also private companies to be on board and be involved. But of course, what is important for us is that we don't want to create new dependencies. On contrary, we really want to strengthen the resilience of our partners in Africa as well as elsewhere. And that's why we have, for instance, invested in vaccine production. We have invested in energy production. We have also invested in critical raw materials in order to support Africa to develop its own value chains and in our own industry base. And this is important for us.
On the critical raw materials, there was a controversial agreement signed between the EU and Rwanda, which raised hackles in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And NGOs said that deal might be fueling human rights abuses across the border from Rwanda in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Do you have a kind of evaluation mechanism to look at what the impact of this minerals deal is?
We do. And actually, for us, it was very important that we have a balanced approach. So first, we signed the Memorandum of Understanding on Critical Raw Materials with DRC, so Democratic Republic of Congo. And after that, we signed the Memorandum of Understanding on Critical Raw Materials with Rwanda. And one of the main objectives, actually, is really to improve traceability and also fight illicit trafficking. And we truly believe that, actually, through this Memorandum of Understanding and also the roadmap, which is based on that MOU, we can actually make some concrete improvements.
As you say, there was an agreement with the DRC as well, but that hasn't stopped the president of the DRC saying that the EU is waging a proxy war against us. So he seems to imply that this deal has actually damaged the EU's relationship with the Democratic Republic of Congo. Do you think that's true?
No, it's not. I met the Prime Minister of DRC myself here in Brussels a couple of weeks ago, and we have very constructive and good discussion. I think it has been clear from the beginning of this conflict, unfortunate conflict in the eastern DRC, that we don't take sides in this conflict. So we really have kept the balanced approach, and we have talked to both of the parties of the need to have a ceasefire and end this conflict. So I think it's a kind of DNA of the partnership that you can have a frank and open discussions, although you have a different opinions.
I'd like to say a word about migration. Likely successor to you in the job, the Czech Commissioner-designate Jozef Sikela, he said during his hearings that international partnerships could be tools to stem migration into the EU. Do you detect a shift in focus to migration and security now, perhaps in the incoming commission?
Well, I think I'm not the right person to predict that.
When it comes to development aid, let's say.
Well, I think already now, based on our legislation, 10% of our external funding is dedicated to migration. 20% of our funding is dedicated to human development, and 35% to green agenda. So for me, security and development are two sides of one coin. And what is important is to provide opportunities for those young people who are living in Africa. We can never stop migration by, you know, building walls. And that's why, for instance, in Senegal, we invest a lot in education, vocational education and training, in order to provide opportunities for those young people. There are 17 million citizens in Senegal at the moment. 70% of them are below 30 years old. And if we look at the forecast, by 2050, there will be 40 million citizens in Senegal. Can we stop them to coming to Europe by building a fence or a wall? No. The only way to stop that is really to invest and support them to develop their society.
But to come back to what I hinted at, this perhaps different emphasis on security, migration, or a wall, if you want to put it that way. If we look at the new multi-financial framework, the EU budget, there is a proposal in there to shift 2.6 billion euros from the development pot, let's say, towards tackling the extraordinary geopolitical tension, as it's called, in other words, migration. Do you think there could be a deviation of resources that would not be in line with the policy that you've been promoting?
I hope that won't be the case. And I think in general it's important to remember in the EU and in the current discussion that there are many kind of security threats. Russia is not the only one. We also have climate change, we have migration, we have terrorism. And in order to be able to address those security challenges, we need international cooperation. We need international partnerships. And that's why I hope personally that that external funding and development cooperation will maintain also in the next MFF, let's say 2027 onwards, which will be prepared soon by the Commission.
We'll have to end it there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Commissioner Jutta Urpilainen. And that's all for this part of Talking Europe. In part two, we'll be with my panel of MEPs at the European Parliament discussing Donald Trump's tariffs on Europe. Are we heading towards a trade war between the EU and the US? That's coming up next. Do stay tuned.